Good morning, Northwest Arkansas and all that are listening. This is the Rockwell Farms Garden Show. My name is Mark.
I'm Josiah, and you're watching and listening to Two Nuts on a Tree.
Yeah, you know what? You listened to it last week when building something, didn't you?
Yeah, you know, I was able to just go on Pandora and listen to ourselves talk. And normally I don't like listen to my own voice, but our producer does such a good job. It's worth something.
Yeah.
Oh, my word.
Thank you, Jess.
Yeah, there you go. No, that was for her.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, she should have.
So, Jessica with Senti Studios is with us, and she produces this. And what are we on? Pandora?
Yeah. So, we are on Pandora, Spotify, Amazon Music, and, of course, the big one, YouTube. Most people use YouTube.
Yes.
The reason I like YouTube is because you can go on there, leave comments. And then if you're leaving comments on YouTube, we answer those on this show.
Yes, we do.
And so that's how we get content on here. That's how we help gardeners because we know what's current, what you need to know. It also helps other gardeners. So make sure to do that. You can leave questions in the comments on here on YouTube, or you can go to our website. There's a place where you can ask questions.
RockwellFarmsNursery.com.
Yes. And there's a place where you can leave questions, and we answer these those questions on this show. And so you're helping a whole bunch of other gardeners and us to create content for you that other gardeners need to know.
Yep. Speaking of which, here's one from Diane. And she says, we are interested in several shrubs and would like to know if you currently carry them.
Okay, yeah.
Cool. Because we're going to get into shrubs this episode.
We are.
So one shrub that she comments on is the Forever Goldie Arborvitae, and we have talked about that.
Yes, we have. Yes. Right. So the Forever Goldie Arborvitae, it is a beautiful tree. There's others that you can get like that. But we found that the Forever Goldie in the summertime, it does get some pretty bad sunburning.
Yep.
So if you're going to go with the Forever Goldie Arborvitae, it's a lot like kind of like the emerald green, but with a gold chartreuse yellow color to it. If you're going to go with that one, make sure you're putting it somewhere where it kind of gets morning sun and maybe some afternoon shade.
So just, protection from the western sun, because that's pretty much kind of what does it in. And the nice thing is that most of the plant material we have trialed and tested for quite some time.
Yes.
And it always looks better in the catalog or on the internet than the practical sense of you having it in your lawn.
Right. And you can make it look like the catalog and everything. You're just going to find the right spot for it. Fertilizers and whatnot. So, well, let me add in a great substitute for that one, the Forever Goldie, is going to be the Jantar or Amber Arborvitae.
That was a hot seller.
Beautiful. Yeah.
Yes.
Grows really, really well.
Yeah. And so we made quite the investment in it, and hopefully other nurseries do too. That is a very, and it held up really nicely.
Didn't get the sun burning. So you can plant that in partial shade to full sun. Mm-hmm. You can put it in the hot southern sun. It's going to be just fine as long as you're giving it the appropriate amount of water till it's established.
All right, another one, the Tater Tot Arborvitae.
Love the Tater Tot Arborvitae.
Now, that is one that you can get through Spring Meadows.
Yes, proven winners.
The Tater Tot.
Mm-hmm.
Gets about, 2.5 foot by 2.5 foot?
Yeah, around generally about 2 foot tall, 2 foot wide.
Yep.
It keeps a nice compact shape. Nice and round. There's never any trimming you have to do on them. It grows really well. Doesn't get winter burn. Doesn't get summer heat.
It has a good fine shaggy look. It's a lot different than any other shrub.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So if you're familiar with the Little Giant Arborvitae, it's a lot like that, just is a little bit smaller and compact.
Okay. And the other one, my phone keeps shutting off here, the North Pole, one of our favorites.
Yeah.
North Pole.
We'll actually be getting into that one a little bit later as well. I'll be going over that. But the North Pole Arborvitae grows, again, if you like the emerald green. The reason I bring the emerald green up is everybody knows that one. Mm-hmm. It's a very common arborvitae that we see everywhere. But the North Pole is, I believe, far better. I've got some planted at my house. It grows about 10 to 15 foot tall, 3 to 5 foot wide, a lot like the emerald green. But what I like about that one is it doesn't burn up easy in the summer. It doesn't get winter desiccation through the winter.
And it's dense.
It's dense, and then the top does not split. So have you ever seen the emeralds if it snows or we get
emerald
ice.
Green. Yes. Yep. We're trying to get away from the emerald green.
Exactly.
Over that used to be our only option.
Yeah.
And now we're starting to deviate from that for the very reason, the splitting.
Thanks to proven winners, yeah.
Yes.
We can.
Okay. So. And she also comments on... Oh, she's also interested in proven winner hydrangea bushes, and I'll let you take that.
Okay.
I'm sure you're going to comment a lot about that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Josiah's like hydrangea king here at Rockwell Farms. So we'll get into that. And finally, looking for ornamental tree for the front yard, which is... east facing.
Okay.
So typically, you know, in general, ornamental trees are great for the front yard. You do not want a big shade tree for the front yard, typically. And so one of my favorites would be the Amur maple.
Yeah.
That's one of my favorites. It's the first one to turn color. It's a bright red. It's nice. It gets 30 foot tall, 20 foot wide. Very good front yard tree. So that'd probably be my first recommendation.
Yeah. My question would be, well, what kind of ornamental? Are you wanting something? Because that's a wide range.
It is.
Are you wanting something that flowers, something that's just smaller, something evergreen? So that can be a whole wide range of things.
But we do focus a lot on the ornamental trees. And an ornamental tree is one, yeah, you're right. Some are just green, but some do flower, like your red buds and so forth. But an ornamental tree is typically a tree that gets about no taller than 30 foot and 20 foot wide. That's typically the size of an ornamental tree.
The one that also that you mentioned that it's on the east side of the house. So you're getting morning sun and no afternoon shade, which is great.
Mm-hmm.
So something I would recommend is an Acer Japanese maple. Japanese maple is going to be great, especially lace leaf if you're wanting something a lot smaller. Like the, what is it? Inaba Shedar?
Then there's also
the Crimson Queen. I love the Crimson Queen. If you wanted something that, cascades out.
Yeah.
It does well.
So, thank you, Diane, for, stimulating those comments. We appreciate it.
I've got one from, David. So, David, thanks for commenting. A flowering shrub that is good on the east side of the house that gets a couple hours of morning sun. So, azalea would be a good one for that.
Yes.
There's different varieties of azalea, hydrangea, so many varieties to choose from. There's quite a bit that will fit into that category there.
Right. Or rhododendrons. And we're going to talk about all three of those.
Mm-hmm.
In the show. But yeah, you're right. And Spring Meadow has a really good Mundo series, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll get into that as well.
Yeah.
So speaking of Spring Meadow, the one thing I like about Spring Meadow is see this pot is a deer proof. A lot of people, we're in deer country.
Yeah.
Okay. And if you are not paying attention to whether your tree or shrub is deer-proof or not, then you're just buying deer candy.
They are considered a pest here.
Yes. And so a lot of people, especially out there in the woods near the lake, they have technical issue. They have a lot of problems with buying shrubbery, not knowing whether it's deer-proof or not. And the next thing about deer is that they always look for something that is new.
Mm-hmm.
When you plant a tree or shrub in your yard, if you're in deer country, then... that's our nursery phone.
Other technical difficulties.
There we go. I'll give that to you, Jessica. You can shut that puppy off. What would we do without Jessica? So anyway, a lot of the shrubs are deer-proof, and proven winners, when you come to a nursery that carries proven winner shrubs... they have the deer-proof pot, and so they take all the guesswork out, and also on their tag, it'll say deer-proof.
Yes.
So we'll get into that as well, so I just want to mention that, because some of their, when you're out in the in deer area, you want color, and color's really hard to get when you're in deer country.
Yeah.
And so they made a concerted effort on recognizing some of the deer-proof barberries, your forsythia, and that's where you get your color. Boxwood is deer candy to a lot of the deer.
Mm-hmm.
And they have deer-proof boxwood and juniper. So we'll get into that as well.
We're also going to be going over how to eradicate your mole problem here later in the show. Mm-hmm. So stick around for that. If you have a problem with moles in your yard, we'll go over step-by-step everything that works great for getting rid of those.
I drove my wife crazy because I used our own backyard as a mole test area. And so, oh,
goodness.
Yeah. And yeah, we'll get into that because I know that that's a big problem. And it creeps up on you quicker than scat. You wake up in the morning, you see all these mounds in your yard, and it's like, okay.
Especially with snow melt, the snow melts and you have really soft soil for them, or dirt to for them to burrow through. Yeah. So right now is we're seeing a lot of that.
All right, and another thing that we're going to talk about is the high-yield bug blaster above and below, because that will also take care of your mold problem. So there's, I want to talk about three ways of keeping molds out of your yard. Mm-hmm. And also you have the Mold Gold Good and the Royal Gold.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I think we're in good shape for this show.
Yeah, and we're going to be going over all of these new proven winter varieties.
So why don't we
getting in? So
why don't we get into time to apply?
All right, yeah. Time to apply.
I think she has. Is that all you got, Jessica? You hear me? Okay. That was good. All right, there you go. Time to apply. It is time to apply your items that to keep moles out. Mm-hmm. So there's three methods that we do. We use the above and below, and what that is that it gets rid of the moles and what it gets rid of the grubs. I'm sorry. Mm-hmm. It gets rid of the grubs because that is the main feature for the moles. They're coming in eating the grubs.
Yeah. Well, there's a few things that people need to know with moles. The first thing is that they have really acute hearing, so they can hear very, very, very well. The second thing is that if they are not fed within a couple of hours, they'll starve to death.
Yes. So, I mean, really what you led into was, as far as hearing is concerned, I like this by Gonzo.
Yes.
You had their hat on last week.
Yes, I did.
Yeah.
Yep.
This right here, I love the name. Mm-hmm. You know, Gonzo was the drummer on The Muppet Show. I love the name, Gonzo.
Yes, yeah.
So, the Mole Engulfer Sonic Spike Repeller. I actually have these in our yard.
Uh-huh.
It does wonders. We have not had a problem since.
Yeah, we have used them in our yard, and after having great reviews on this product right here, it's been really good. Now, the thing is, though, because you just had snow that covered the... This is solar-powered, and if you have snow that covers that solar-powered, those might not work. So what happened in your yard?
Well, yeah, and so they came... I'm next to somebody who is like a mole village, and so when they did come on over, I used that mole trap that you just step on.
Yeah.
We should have brought one out, but we didn't. But it is really good. I found this company years ago, and I should probably go out and get one. In fact, Jessica, will you please show the mole trap that we have? Because it works great. Biggest complaint on mole traps is that people cannot set them because it's very hard to pull back. Number two, the typical mole trap is very dangerous if they have pets or children, right?
Yeah.
This mole trap you set with your foot. And we have a dog that goes in the backyard, so it's total pet friendly and kid friendly.
Uh-huh.
They cannot get hurt by this.
Yes,
and it works better than any mole trap that I've ever gotten.
They're very easy to use, and you can if you don't know where to find these, you can actually rent them here at Rockwell Farms Nursery.
Yeah.
So if you don't have no reason or rhyme to actually go out and buy one, you can rent them here.
Right. So. And so that way, because one time I did hire the mole whisperer. It drove me crazy. So I hadn't come out because, you know, it kind of got out of hand.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't know what to do. I had all these different traps. You know what he did? He came out and he used the very same trap that I've been selling. Yes.
Really?
Frustrated the fool out of me. He put four or five of them out in the yard and he came out every week and he'd move them.
Oh, man.
Yeah. Totally eradicated my moles, but I was just sick.
Oh, man. Yeah. No kidding.
That's it.
No kidding. I like also the above and below the bug blaster for time to apply, because that's going to get rid of their food. Again, if moles don't have food within a couple of hours, they'll starve because they're really hyperactive. So they've got to have food for energy. And so.
I would say that the best mole repellent is the Mole Gold. Okay. It's totally organic. It's castor oil.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And moles do not like a greasy environment. Excuse me.
And it's pungent to them as well.
Yes, exactly. And so you create that greasy environment, and it does give off a smell. And Mogul works really good. What you do is that you use it in strips, and you basically push the mole out of your yard.
Yes.
So you put a strip next to your concrete or some sort of hardscape, and then the next week you put another strip down, and you put another strip down, and you push them out into your neighbor's yard.
That's great. Now, if you really wanted to get rid of the moles and you wanted to do it fast, you could actually use the trifecta, which we have used before. Yep. Works really great. It's actually using all three of these. So you'll be using the Above and Below Bug Blaster Plus, the Mole Go by Fertilome, and then the Gonzo in your yard.
Yep.
And so all three of those, kind of like the trinity of getting rid of moles, going to work really good.
Yeah, yeah, there's your button again.
That's great.
So Royal Gold is one of our favorite ones. It is the organic fertilizer that we have replaced all of our other organics from. I mean, we went through a frustrating phase of organic fertilizers.
Yes.
And we found out that Royal Gold was the best because we have a test garden in the back, which people go visit all the time, and they say, how do you get such good plant material?
Mm-hmm.
And go ahead, you're the one that introduced us to Royal Gold.
Yeah, I don't know. It's like cheating. So I've started using it. I mentioned this last week, but started using it in flower beds. Mm-hmm. Every time I plant fruit trees, man, it just works great. And so just adding a little bit in the bottom of the hole for fruit trees, it is like cheating.
Yeah.
And it's got a lot smaller particle size, which for organic fertilizers, typically, like some of the other brands, it's a lot bigger particle size. So organic fertilizer, your soil has to have be able to break that down by the microbes and mycorrhizae and all that. Mm-hmm. So it breaks down that particle, especially the...
it's a micron, so we use a lot less of it. And that's why I really liked it. It does not have a lot of filler. A lot of your organic fertilizers, if you read the ingredients in it, it will one of the main ingredients will be feathers.
Yeah, or chicken manure.
They call it feather meal.
Mm-hmm.
Is feathers.
Yeah. The other problem that we were facing, so first off, let me finish, that has a smaller particle size. So it breaks down a lot quicker in your soil because it's like a fine powder.
Yep.
Which works really good. The other thing that I like about it is it doesn't have just chicken manure. Chicken manure, we're in Northwest Arkansas. We're in chicken country. Mm-hmm. It's really cheap. It's really easy to find. And so by default, everybody kind of just goes for it. Now, in the Royal Gold, they do not have chicken manure. What they have in it is seabird guano. And the difference is quite stark. Seabirds, what do? They naturally just go out and about, and they eat wild fish, you know. And so you're not having something that has antibiotics, because what the chicken is eating and it's going into our fertilizer, essentially you're eating. And so you want to keep that in mind as well.
Well, let's just talk about what it's derived from. Crab meal, neem seed meal, alpha meal, basalt, fish bone meal, gypsum, seabird guano, Epsom salt, kelp meal, sulfate of potash, and Dominic lime.
Oh, yeah.
You can't beat that.
Oh, yeah.
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 So, all right. that's your time to apply. And let's get back into spring meadow shrubs.
Yeah.
All right. They have a lot of the proven winter varieties, but they go above and beyond for the customer. And one thing I want to mention is the in check. Now, what does that mean? It keeps you from buying a problem. A lot of the plants, like a barberry, butterfly bush, hibiscus, spirea, they will drop seed and propagate themselves, and before you know it, you have an invasive plant. The reason why I really like spring meadow is that it keeps you from having to do all the thinking. It's kind of like the deer proof. And so the in-check varieties will see it right there on the tag, and you'll know that it will not propagate itself through seed drop rhizomes, which are above ground stems, or stolons, which is your below ground stems. So you can buy with confidence through spring meadow with their in-check program.
Yeah, that's great.
Yep. Another exciting thing that I want to mention is their pre-budded hydrangeas.
Oh, wow.
Okay.
Yeah, those are great.
All right. On Mother's Day, one of the big shrubs, big plants that most mothers want is a hydrangea.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So when is Mother's Day? May. It's in May, right? Early, early part of spring.
Yeah.
And it keeps you from buying a hydrangea that's green and say, hey, Mom, I promise you it's going to be blue. Okay.
Yeah.
You could show up with... they Spring Meadow has already put in the lime to make it pink, mm-hmm. or the acid, the sulfur to make it blue. So you could show up and say, here's your hydrangea. It's already perfect blue.
Yeah. Hydrangea.
Oh, my word. So it comes in a perfect blue, and you it just makes you look good for Mother's Day.
Oh, yeah.
You don't have to wait. You don't have to apply your own sulfur or go through all that guessing.
Yeah, the pre-budded hydrangeas, those are awesome mm-hmm. because they come in, it's instant gratification, everything looks good. The plant is to its top, it looks like it's in its prime. Mm-hmm. And so love those because you get to see the color, you get to enjoy it. And most of those pre-budded hydrangeas are reblooming, so they'll keep putting on blooms through the summertime, which is great.
All right, so go through some of the new varieties that have come out with Spring Meadow, because I always like to do that. They come out with new varieties every year. These folks do a lot of work, so yeah. We don't have to.
Yeah, Proven Winners comes out again. Their name is Proven Winners. They are literally proven winners. Mm-hmm. All of their shrubs are tried, tested, and true. And so they have, we have found here at Rockwell Farms that they have a higher performance level than just anywhere at other shrub company. They work really hard on getting these varieties out. And finding improved varieties. So every year they come out with something that is a little bit better, improved. And so one of those improved varieties, we talked about it last week, but it's the Sunjoy Fast Neo. Now the Sunjoy Fast Neo, it's a barberry. They had the Sunjoy Neo before. It mm-hmm. is a little bit smaller, grows a little bit slower. And so this variety is improved. It grows a lot faster. Mm-hmm. It's a lot brighter of a red color, grows 3 to 5 foot tall.
And then it turns to orange red.
Yes, it does.
It's extremely vibrant.
And the color holds a lot longer through the summer, through mm-hmm. the heat, through the drought.
And it's deer proof.
Exactly. So it is deer resistant as well. Mm-hmm. And so I really like this variety. Sandy's got us onto this, and we'll be having those this spring.
And during the show, we're going to talk about shrubs. And I want you to think about something. Most windows will be 3.5 to 4 foot above the ground, okay, of people's homes. Mm-hmm. So pay attention. When we design landscapes and so forth, we always pay attention to the height of the window. Right? Yes. They'll have a great window that they love looking out. And I see this all the time where a contractor put a shrub in there that grows 6 foot tall.
And it covers the window. It's up to the eave of the house.
Yes. Exactly. And it's a frustrating moment. And so back to your Neo, mm-hmm. The barberries, they only grow 3 to 3.5 foot tall. So that is something that you might want to put at the base of your window so it doesn't cover up that nice window.
Yeah, and the common homeowner, they don't have time, they're pretty busy, don't have time to go out and trim. So we think of those things for you.
Right.
And when you come up to the nursery and you ask for a certain shrub or give us requirements of where it'll be, what it's going to look like, where it's going to go, we will help you out. Everybody here at the nursery is pretty equipped to be able to help you out.
We ask questions.
Yeah,
absolutely. How tall? Yeah, where's your window, how tall it mm-hmm. is, and so forth.
Yep.
All right. All right, go through the Fast Neo.
Yeah, so another one that they got is the Sweet Emotion Blaze. This is an Abelia. So this one is a beautiful Abelia that is really hardy for our zone.
Isn't it orange?
So it does. It does turn orange, but that's in the fall. So this in the it's going to have beautiful fall color, and the fall color is going to be yellow, orange, and bright red, all in the same shrub. It does bloom throughout as well, like a typical Abelia does, but it's another improved variety of Abelia.
Mm-hmm. All right.
I've also got Sweet Reward Coral. This is an azalea, Sweet Reward Coral Azalea. So it's a beautiful azalea, but this one has this big ball of blooms on it, mm-hmm. Just covering the whole shrub in the spring. But the color of it is kind of a salmon color.
It's a different color.
Yeah, it has some pink and some orange in there. It's really beautiful.
And it's a deep coral, if I remember correctly. A lot of the times, a coral will be a light color and just kind of looks faded.
Uh-huh.
This is a deep coral.
It is, yes.
Yeah, and very unusual.
Very bright. It's going to stand out, especially in the spring
mm-hmm.
when everything's still on the hinge of a little dingy. Mm-hmm. This is going to be really bright, give you some color.
And it's evergreen.
Mm-hmm. Another one that I want to talk about is the Mop Top. It's a Buddleia, a butterfly bush. So the Mop Top is absolutely stunning. This one has cones of flowers that droop. So it's cascading. So this one cascades. It gets about 3 to 5 foot tall and wide. Really fills out. Now, the butterfly bush is great. They're very, very drought resistant. And so if you have an area that has full sun and you're having a hard time with the dry heat, getting something to grow and look beautiful, the butterfly bush is a great one to go for.
And they do a really good job on getting the dwarf butterfly bushes.
They your do regular the pugster varieties. Yes. Yeah,
your regular butterfly bush will be about 6 foot tall. Okay. And that's why you see them in a lot of farm areas. But they have done a really good job on making it a lot more compact, dwarf, and dense. And I really like the mop top that you're talking about because it cascades.
Yeah.
That's different than any anyone that we've seen.
Yeah, usually the blooms are sticking right up. Now, yeah, the Pugster varieties, I love the Pugster because they have, you know, the white.
Okay, you're stealing my thunder. I'm going to get into
that. Okay, I'll let you be.
You got the new variety. Stick to your new varieties.
Oh, goodness. Okay, and then another one is the... Oh So Easy Red Stripe. Now, I did talk about this last week.
Okay, yes.
But the Oh So Easy Red Stripe, it has these, it's a beautiful double red flower, but it has these stripes of white coming through the petals like candy. It looks like candy. Now, the Oh So Easy variety, the foliage is beautiful. So even when the plant doesn't have blooms on it, it's still a beautiful plant. But when it does get blooms on it, I'm telling you, it's a nonstop show. It continues and continues and continues. It doesn't have a slowdown point. It blooms all the way from spring until almost winter.
Yes.
Ours was blooming just up until about first, second week of December.
And these are carefree roses. These are carefree roses, which is very important. You will not have a lot of the problems that a lot of the hybrid teas or the floribundus have.
Yeah.
And you just pretty much plant it and go. I tell you one thing. Here's a little trick. If you keep them healthy, they will not get disease. That across the board on roses.
Keep them fed.
Yes. If you keep them healthy, they will not get disease. And that's why the Royal Gold comes into play.
Absolutely.
Because there's all those micronutrients that you normally don't think about. Boron, magnesium, molybdenum. Those things that you don't think about, they're very essential in keeping a healthy plant. So roses in particular, if you keep it healthy, you will not have disease.
Yeah, going with the, back to that, I use the Royal Gold Bloom and the Grow back there in the flower bed. I planted some of the Oh So Easy Double Red, and they just exploded from
okay.
the little quart pot up until they're about 3.5 foot tall and wide now.
I remember that.
And they bloomed until December. So
let's explain a little bit more. So you'll use the grow from the time that you plant it up until the time it starts flowering, correct?
Correct, yeah.
And then you start using the bloom.
Yeah, now on the roses, I put the bloom in a little bit earlier than usual to kind of push them into that bloom. But man, they just kept going, kept going, and kept going.
Okay.
You can also use the Imperial Boost if you're needing a little bit higher of bloom, which works great. But the Imperial Boost is a really good finisher.
Yes, especially on your vegetables. I found that was the swing point for me. That's when I said that we need to carry Royal Gold because you introduced Royal Gold. And so I used that in our trial as far as our vegetables were concerned. And it blew my socks off.
Awesome. Hey, so another one that they have come out with is the Reminiscent. Thank you. Reminiscent Yellow. So the Reminiscent Yellow, again, the foliage on this before it blooms and after it blooms is absolutely beautiful. It's really shiny, a beautiful green straight across the board. And then those yellow flowers that come out on top are beautiful. Again, it's a nonstop show.
It's a deep yellow. I really want to point that out because a lot of the times the yellows are a faded yellow.
Yeah.
Okay. This is a deep yellow, has great petal count.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Yes. Remember, like, one of the all-time most popular rose of all time is the Mr. Lincoln. Okay.
Yeah, I would agree.
All right. The Mr. Lincoln Red Rose. It sings and dances at the same time. It has a high petal count. It's very fragrant, and it's easy to grow. Okay.
Yep.
So the Reminiscent Yellow is pretty much the same way. It has a great deep yellow, it has a high petal count, and it's fragrant.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, good. What else you got?
Okay.
And these are just the highlights that you picked out as far as
these are. This is their new items. Okay. Mm-hmm. And then the Incrediball Stormproof. I know I talked about this one again last week, but all of these are very worth mentioning again. Because the Stormproof Incrediball,
they don't flop.
No, they do not. So
I hate the flop.
Exactly. So if you are familiar with the Incrediball or most hydrangeas, if they are really heavy with blooms that year and we get a heavy downpour or a crazy storm that comes in, they're going to be laying over. Now, the Stormproof Incrediball does not do that. It stays tried and true to its posture, its structure. It's a pretty tough bush. Mm-hmm. And the flowers on it, you still get that big, heavy ball of flowers.
Right, and there's a Full Sun by Burnham that people buy called the Snowball Bush. It's been around forever. And what this is, it is like a snowball bush for the shade area.
Basically, yeah. Yes. Yeah, I would say it's a good substitute. So if you're not able to get a snowball bush in, go for hydrangea. Or if you don't have, if you have too much sun, then go for the viburnum.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, so now can we talk about some of our favorite varieties?
Yeah, go for it.
All right. I want to start with the Abelia Sunshine. Mm-hmm. That's a very good plant. It is gold. It's gold throughout the season, and it turns out orange in the fall. Typically, I mean, Abelia is not one of your favorites, I know.
There's some varieties that I like.
But this one only gets 3 to 4 foot tall. Okay, so it's very manageable. Mm-hmm. It has a vivid lime green gold color all summer long. And it's extremely hardy. And that's why it's one of my favorite, the sunshine.
Yeah.
Chokeberry. Chokeberry is one that we have not carried in the past. I want to carry it this year.
Because it's a choking hazard.
Yeah.
No.
Oh, that's good. It has berry-like fruit. There's some plants, you know, that we need to consider. You have two types of customers. You have the customer that lives out and they want that country organic look. Mm-hmm. They have a lot of space.
Yeah.
All right. And then you have the customer that has they live in a metropolitan area. They do not have the space. So they're looking for more of the narrow uprights or the compact shrub.
Yeah.
And your chokeberry, it's more for the countryside and it gives you that yellow to orange red color in the fall. And it's very bright, vibrant. So it gives you a good autumn look. It's one of those plants to where you're coming home from work and you say, oh, what's that over there? Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
That's why I like the chokeberry. You mentioned the azaleas. Mm-hmm. Okay, the Perfecto Mundo.
Yeah.
What variety did you talk about?
The one that I had mentioned was the Sweet one? Reward Coral.
Okay. Most of their Mundo varieties, they'll get about, 2.5 to 3 foot, right?
Yep.
So if you have if your house faces the east side, and if it's shady, that'd be a perfect great area for the azaleas.
It really is, yeah, just with that morning sun. So an azalea or hydrangea out in the wild, their natural habitat is going to be on the east side of the forest where they have the tree line to shade them from the evening sun. What you got?
I got a droopy mic.
Oh, yeah. Here we go.
Looks like a Jesse. Oh. Okay.
There you go. And so their natural habitat's going to be on the east side of like a tree line to where they get that morning sun, and then they are going to get shaded from that hot western sun.
Yes. My mic was like a flopping hydrangea.
You should have got the stormproof one.
That's exactly right. The nice thing about the Perfect Mundo is in the front of the house, you do not take hydrangeas in the Perfect Mundo like you talked about. Nice thing about the Mondo hydrangea is that, or azalea, is that it's an evergreen. Mm-hmm. So you don't want to look naked in the wintertime.
Right.
All right. Yep. So you get your evergreen during the wintertime, and you'll get your color in the spring. And so it's the best of both worlds.
It really is, yeah. Rhododendron, though, rhododendrons are amazing. The black hat.
Okay, yeah.
Okay.
You're stealing my thunder. I tried to go in alphabetical order.
So okay.
Spend a lot of
maybe
time
explain
on
that before we start next time.
Yeah, that's in the R's.
Black right, hat, rhododendron. I'm doing it anyway.
We're in the A's.
Absolutely stunning. Because it is an evergreen.
Yes.
But in the winter, the leaves turn kind of a black, purpley color. And so you still have foliage on it. It's just a lot darker. But then when it blooms in the spring, it blooms in the spring and in the fall.
Yeah.
But when it blooms in the spring, it is just bright, hot pink. It is beautiful, and it stands out, especially up against that black foliage.
Okay. It is kind of taking the place of the PGM. PGM used to be a dwarf rhododendron. Mm-hmm. A lot of the rhododendrons get about 4.5 feet tall. Okay. And this one is a dwarf, and it really has a very vibrant, I'd say it's more towards a purple color. Old timers know the PGM, and this is a great replacement, very much for the fact that it has that black foliage in the
winter. And when it blooms, it just stands up really, really nice up against that black foliage.
Another evergreen that you could plant in front of your house to where you're not looking naked in the winter, and you have that color in the during the year time. So let's hit on the barberries.
Yeah.
Okay. A lot of the barberries that Spring Meadow carries are deer-proof. And they make note of that, not only with the pot, but the tag. Mm-hmm. And I really appreciate that, because even though barberry will have thorns to it, deer will eat them. Mm. And it's very frustrating.
Yeah.
What would you say is your favorite barberry?
I'm going to say the Tangelo. I really like the Tangelo because it's a bright orange, but on the inside of it has still that chartreuse color. Mm-hmm. So especially when it comes time to trim it back, it's like you've got a different shrub. But it's really bright orange, takes really great shape, really low maintenance. I would say it's a Tangelo. Yeah.
Most of their barberries will be about 3 to 3.5 feet tall. Mm-hmm. And that's if you never trim them, okay? And the nice thing about barberries is the more you trim, the denser the shrub that you'll have.
Yeah, and they're very forgiving.
Exactly, and very hard to kill.
Yeah.
And I think that my favorite, I really love the Neo, and now that they come out with the Fast Neo, I'm kind of excited about it. And some of their barberries as well are pillars. The pillar barberries?
Yeah.
The yellow?
Great, yeah. So they have the pillar, the red pillar.
And the yellow.
And the yellow pillar. And they grow kind of like a nice upright shape, only about 1.5 feet wide usually, and mm-hmm. about 2 to 3 feet tall. Mm-hmm. So it takes a really great shape, especially up against a walkway where you don't want to get pricked by them, mm-hmm. but you want the barberry color. Yep. Yeah, they're wonderful.
The Tangelo, you mentioned the Tangelo. So that's a hard second for me. I really like the Neo. Next one that I have as far as our favorites are concerned, you mentioned the butterfly bushes.
Yeah.
The nice thing about Spring Meadow is that they have a big variety of your butterfly bushes. We used to only be able to get butterfly bushes that were 6 feet tall. And they do attract butterflies, and they're very nice and brilliant. Yeah. But one of my favorites would be the Lo and Behold. Nice thing is that, once again, it is one of those in-check shrubs to where it's guaranteed to not be invasive.
Yeah.
All right? A lot of your older butterfly bushes would be very invasive, but...
And some of them are outlawed in certain states.
Like Oregon.
Yeah.
And Washington, if I believe.
Now, proven winners, they're non-invasive. They don't produce seed. They're sterile, so really good varieties.
Already done the thinking for you.
Mm-hmm.
Another one would be the Mist series. Mist series grows approximately 4.5 feet tall and wide. Reason why I like it is that you have the deep pink, the red pink, and the purple. Those are the three main, and whites. I don't know if Mist series has white, but those are the four main colors when it comes to a butterfly bush.
My favorite is going to be the Miss Molly. It is like a ruby
you're
pink.
You're right.
Yeah, Miss Molly.
And the colors... are vibrant.
Very.
Like the Miss Molly.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then you get into the Pugster series.
Uh-huh.
All right. I'll let you take that one because...
Now we're talking.
One, it's a great seller. I mean, it only gets 2 to 3 feet tall.
Yeah, it's a great border plant. If you have a border along a walkway and you just want to be in a fairy tale and see a whole bunch of butterflies, the Pugster variety I really like because it's compact. It has a whole bunch of blooms on it on a
big.
Compact shrub.
They're big
Yes,
blooms.
They are. They're full-size blooms on a small-size plant. And so it really shows off super drought tolerant. Mm-hmm. This is something, once it's established, if you forget about it, it's okay.
Yeah.
It's not going to hurt it.
Hard to kill.
Yeah.
And here at our nursery, we'll have a big section of the Pugsters.
Uh-huh.
Butterflies galore.
When they're in full bloom, you walk back
it's
there,
amazing.
It's like you're at a wedding show or something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's totally amazing. So we just tell people, follow the butterflies.
Yep.
All right, let's get into the boxwood because I think they've done a really good job on the boxwood.
Yeah.
We mentioned this North Star.
Yeah.
Being one of our favorites. Yep. Very hard to kill. The nice thing about the North Star, there are evergreen shrubs that, especially the boxwood, that will turn that brown hue during the wintertime.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have that with the North Star.
Not with North Star or Sprinter.
Yes. Yeah. And those are our two favorite of the spring meadow varieties. Yeah. The North Star will only get about 2 to 2.5 feet.
Mm-hmm.
So you could plant. This is really neat. We used to, some of the boxwoods that we have, the cheaper boxwoods, like the wintergreen, you get them from down south. I know that they're less expensive, but the problem is that you're having to trim it all the time. It grows too fast, too tall.
Yep.
All right?
Mm-hmm.
And you'll have that brown tinge during the wintertime. Nice thing about the North Star is that you don't have to trim it all the time. It only gets 2.5 feet tall. It's great for that low-lying hedge, along with the Sprinter, of course.
Or for just the lazy gardener. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, the Sprinter is one to where the people that don't want, if you want a fast shrub, okay, you want this thing to grow fast because you don't want to wait the time, and you want something that hovers around 3 to 4 foot,
mm-hmm.
the Sprinter is like a boxwood on crack. It grows like you wouldn't believe.
Yeah, I think that one's a great one also for topiaries or if you're doing English-style garden
mm-hmm.
and you're planting rows of them and boxing them, whatever you want to do. I think the Sprinter's a great one for that.
So those would probably be our two favorites.
Yeah.
I should have said the Sprinter is one that is on the grow. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's on the roll gold.
Yeah. It should be. If it's not.
Yeah, that's more appropriate than crack.
Yeah.
then you have your sweet shrub. Sweet shrub is a very interesting, once again, the country person, we always want to keep them in mind is also,
mm-hmm.
They have the Aphrodite. Aphrodite is one of the bigger shrubs. It's a deciduous shrub, but the reason why we like that is that it has the real red magenta blooms. You can see it from a mile. It's very long lasting. It's fragrant. It gets large enough for you to see, 6 to 12 foot tall. So that would be good for the countryside.
Well, they just came out with a new improved variety of the sweet shrub called the Red Zeppelin.
Yeah. Yep.
Red Zeppelin. Who comes up with these names?
Yeah, old hippie.
Yeah. The Red Zeppelin. And so this one has a red foliage to it, kind of burgundy red.
Yeah.
Really beautiful, stands alone up against other shrubs. So that's a great sweet shrub.
Yep. And it has what kind of orange to red flowers.
Uh-huh. Yes, it does.
So if you have that up against the burgundy foliage, that'll really stand out.
Yeah. And even when the blooms are spent and it's not even a bloom anymore, it has this little old, this bright green spent bloom head when the petals fall.
You're right.
And it actually looks really good still.
So. You're right. So it has a point of interest all through mm-hmm. the season.
Absolutely. Whether it's bloomed or not.
Okay. Let's talk about flowering quince.
Yeah.
Okay. That's one of my favorites.
Oh, yeah.
I think that they have done a really good job on the quince because they... the vivid colors. And flowering mm-hmm. quince always gets me excited because it's one of the first ones to bloom. It's kind of like the forsythia. And you have your orange, you have your red, and you have your white.
Yeah. Now, on those, the color, like the orange is great, the double orange.
That's my favorite. I like the orange.
My favorite is the eternal white, actually, because it has a longer bloom time. It flowers a lot. And it's beautiful. So, quince used to just be one of those farmer shrubs, like you had mentioned.
Yeah.
But now they're becoming more and more popular with the new varieties that they have.
Mm-hmm. And they're vivid colors.
Mm-hmm.
The red is a very vivid red. Their orange is a very vivid orange.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So when it blooms, it is, it's beautiful.
Yep.
Yeah.
Let's talk smoke bush.
Okay.
Smoke bush has been around for a long time.
Uh-huh.
Okay. But Spring Meadow has the Wintercraft.
Mm-hmm.
It has
Winecraft?
Winecraft, no. Okay. Yeah, it's the Winecraft. Yeah. It has the black foliage.
Yes.
It's so purple, it's almost black.
Yep.
And it grows about 10 foot tall. It's big. And it's very showy. And the reason why it's called smoke bush is because you have a deep purple fuzzy bloom, and it kind of looks like it's smoke when it's in full bloom.
And looks so like mist over the top of it, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, smoke on the water. That's another hippie song.
Smoke on the water.
Yeah. Next one, since we're in the bees, how about the burning bush? Burning Bush.
Yeah.
Burning Bush is one of our favorites. It's a deep red in the fall color.
Yeah.
It doesn't really do much during the season, but then when you get into the fall, it's like you're driving down your driveway, and it's like, boom, the brightest red that you can totally
And it's get. Almost like every time it does, it's like, whoa, when did that happen? Yeah. So it is a euonymus. The great thing about the burning bush is because euonymus grows wild here in the woods. This is sterile. It will not go to self-seed. You're not going to have an invasive shrub when you plant the burning bush.
It's part of their in-check program.
Yes,
I really like that program because they've done all the thinking.
Well, yeah, they make sure that we're not going to have a problem trying to plant something in a certain spot, and then we get it grown up the house like mint.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
And then leading into the in-check program, that would be their hibiscus. Mm. Hibiscus are also known for dropping their seed and propagating more, but their hibiscus, which is Rose of Sharon, is also part of their in-check program. In fact, the only seedless Rose of Sharon would be their, I think, Blue Satin that they have. It's a new variety, and that's out now. Some of their other Rose of Sharons that I really like is the Chiffon series.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. That blue chiffon is amazing.
With the double flower on it, yeah.
That's
almost a true blue.
Yes. Yep. And blue's very hard to find in the landscape.
Yep.
That's why that blue chiffon is just an outstanding Rose of Sharon.
My favorite's got to be the pillar, because typically your Rose of Sharon, it gets big and leggy, or it can if you don't keep up with it. But that pillar just grows in an upright, so it's really great at softening the corner of the house, or if you've got an arbor or something that it can grow up against to soften. Really beautiful. It just keeps putting blooms on. Really, really showy, and it looks tropical.
Yes.
It looks very tropical. Yeah, it is a hibiscus.
And you can actually plant that in the middle of a flower bed and have other shrubs around it, and that could be your focal point. Because it blooms. The one thing I like about Rose of Sharon is that it blooms all summer long.
Yeah.
It's the biggest bang that you will get for your buck.
Yeah, because it has, there's white, there's that purple, violet, red, and those all come in the pillar form, so it's just an upright. Beautiful Rose of Sharon.
Yep. Let's talk about junipers.
Okay.
Your favorite juniper, Montana Moss.
Yeah. Yeah, probably. I really like the Montana Moss.
The shrub type.
The Montana Moss is going to be kind of that frosty blue, same color as kind of the Blue Atlas Cedar or Colorado Blue Spruce, but it's really feathery plant, I think.
Shaggy.
And so it kind of spreads out. Now, you can box it or trim it. Mm-hmm. I don't like that look. I think it takes away from the woodsy feel. Mm-hmm. And so if you're trying to go for lodge style, that's a great shrub to have because it kind of grows into this wispy, sparse little bush, and it's
different.
Yeah,
it's different.
My favorite with that shrub though is to put it with kind of a yellow evergreen or a chartreuse evergreen, something to give it that contrast. It really makes it stand
we did
out.
That with the Jantar.
Yes,
the Jantar. Yeah. Jantar.
The Jantar or the fluffy arborvitae.
Mm-hmm. That's exactly right. Crepe myrtles, the center stage crepe myrtle. Very good way to get color in your landscape. I like the center stage varieties is because they're so vivid.
With the dark leaf, yeah.
Exactly. A lot of the crepe myrtles that you would get from down south, the color is just not there. And that's always been frustrating to me. And that's why I like the center stage crepe myrtles, is because they just have their red is a very bright red.
Yeah, if you remember, there used to be an older variety of those. It was called the diamond or dynamite.
Oh yeah,
diamond dynamite.
Dynamite. Yes.
Yeah, and so there was an older variety of those, but this is an improved variety. It has that darker ebony leaf. It's absolutely beautiful, but when it blooms, because of that darker leaf, it makes the color that so much brighter. Mm-hmm. Looks really good.
One of our favorite shrubs is the privet. I like the privet, like the variegated, this is old timey plant, the variegated privet.
Mm-hmm.
It'll grow about 20 foot tall. And in my opinion, it is the poor man's green.
Yes.
Okay. Because it's semi evergreen, so meaning that it will defoliate some, But you can plant that sucker, and it grows quicker than scab.
Very fast.
Very fast.
We had planted some on the side of the property here, and they've grown maybe 4 foot just since last season.
Yes. So in my opinion, that's a poor man's green. And with the spring meadow, you have the golden ticket.
Yeah.
Now, golden ticket is both yours and my favorite.
So I use that in center pieces in larger larger container gardens. Mm-hmm. Works really great as that, or privacy, or if you just want to have a weird spot on the side of the house you need to cover, that's a great one to go for because it only gets up to 6 foot tall.
Yep.
And you can trim them back and keep them at about 3 to 4 foot, and they do perfectly fine with that. Super forgiving. I saw that.
Sorry.
They have a...
I had Cajun yesterday.
Oh, no. Oh, gosh. Yeah. What are we doing?
It's my goon-ass friends.
Oh, stuff. No. And so...
love that gumbo.
Yeah. Oh,
go ahead.
Okay. So, but they do have a white, kind of like a little wedding flower in the spring, and they are fragrant. Yeah.
Smells like gardenias.
Gardenias.
But you could get a 6 foot shrub in about 3 years' time.
Oh, yeah.
That's why I like that golden ticket.
And it's, again, another chartreuse mm-hmm. shrub.
Yep.
And semi-evergreen. So if we don't have a hard winter, it'll keep its leaves. If we do, it'll lose them, but get them right back in the spring.
All right. Now let's hit on the rhododendrons. One of our friends, we agree on this, the black cat. The black cat is a great rhododendron.
Yeah, it is. Yeah.
Yeah. It gets only about 3 foot tall, and it is just... the foliage and the bloom is just outstanding.
I don't think you can compete. You can throw any other azalea in there, and I just don't, rhododendron in there, and I don't think you can compete. It's just so bright up against those dark leaves.
It's original.
Yeah.
People are always looking for something different than their neighbor.
Yeah.
So that black cat will fit the bill.
Yep.
Roses. I know you touched on the reminiscent yellow, but they have some of the, like honey apricot. That's an edible rose.
Yeah, you can actually eat that or put it in tea, dry it. Yeah, absolutely.
And it has that nice apricot look.
Yes.
Which is a different type of flower.
It's like a almost like a creamy yellow coral mm-hmm. color.
They're reminiscent coral, I believe, is the rose of the year.
Mm-hmm.
It has a deep pink coral flower, of course, and it has a copper center. So it's kind of a two-tone. It has a copper in the middle, and then it goes out to coral. Mm-hmm. And those are very unique, very unusual. It only gets 2 to 3.5 foot tall and about 2 foot wide. So pretty much fit in anybody's landscape.
Well, the Rise Up Lilac Days, okay? So we got to talk about that one.
Yeah.
That one is a climber. Yeah. And if you have a trellis and you're needing something to grow up it very fast... We started with a quart pot. This thing was about 8 inches tall. Yeah.
No, I'm just excited. I mean, that was outstanding.
Last spring, I planted this Rise Up Lilac Days. It was the beginning of spring. I made an 8 foot trellis.
Yeah.
And by halfway through summer, this thing was taller than the trellis,
mm-hmm.
covered with blooms.
Yes.
So, you could do that again if you want. It's that good.
Yeah.
So this is the rose for 2026. How they think that far ahead, I don't have a clue.
Yeah. but you see, what you fertilized with was grow.
And the bloom.
The rose.
Specifically
gold.
On that one was the bloom.
Yeah. And so I think it went hand in hand. It made that was totally outstanding.
I mean, that sounds like I'm over-exaggerating, but I'm telling you, I am not over-exaggerating.
Well, couldn't believe it. We had to send a picture to her. Sandy at Spring Meadow?
Yeah.
You had to send a picture to her.
Now, I planted the Rise Up Ringo next to it in hopes that they would kind of mingle. Mm-hmm. The Rise Up Ringo, beautiful rose, but it's covered in thorns. Didn't do as well as the Rise Up Lilac Days for that spot. I think I had it kind of crowded right there. Mm-hmm. But man, the Rise Up Lilac Days, it's also thornless. And so it has no thorns. If you need to get in there and trim it off your arbor or your trellis, there's no problem at all.
Good. One of our all-time favorites is the Julia Child.
Julia Child?
Yeah, I know. Yeah. You get a bottle of wine with every rose you buy of the Julia Child.
Yep, and a lobster.
I mean, you know, she was, it was an All-American selection years ago. And so that has always been one of my mainstays. I've always liked the Julia Child.
Mm-hmm. Beautiful rose. It starts off bright yellow and turns to kind of a creamy white yellow. Yep.
Oh,
yellow.
We saw that when we went to Cleveland. We saw the Julia Child.
That was in Reno. It was about 8 foot tall.
Yes.
Yep, and that thing was huge, covered in blooms.
Yeah.
You can actually find that in a video. Jess might be able to put up a clip of that, but it was beautiful.
Exactly. Yeah.
Well, we've gone over quite a bit today.
Oh, are we out of time there, Jess? Wow, that hour went by fast.
Wow, yeah.
Well, we'll hit on our second half of our favorites, I guess, on next show. Hey, next
we have a lot of favorites. It's kind of like children. You can't say one's better than the other.
That's the problem.
Yeah.
Next week, we want to get in someone from the Bentville Master Gardener Program.
Yeah, yeah.
I think that people need to know why you should join the Master Gardeners.
What are the benefits? Touch on that. Yeah. Oh,
yeah, because it's kind of like the unsung hero. They do a lot for the community, and people don't recognize it. So I'd really like to have someone in here to tell us the benefits of it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That'd be great.
Kind of pick their brain, see what they like and what they look for as far as being a Master Gardener.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's a lot of benefits to it. They do a lot in the community, and you're exactly right. One of the things I'll point out is for the Sunshine School, it's a school for special needs children.
Right up the street.
Yeah, they just put in some sensory gardens for them. That's been their plan, and helped them out with some of their landscaping. And so if you know kids with special needs or especially autism, sensory is a big deal. And so they were putting in things with different textures, smells. Absolutely wonderful. Those are great people.
Yeah. So we'll have them in here next week so that they can tell us the benefits of a master program. And hopefully if you do not have one in your community, you can start one.
Yeah.
Once you know the benefits of having one in your community.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah.
That's great.
So, hey, thanks again, folks, for listening to Two Nuts on a Tree. And
yeah, again, you can find us on Spotify, Amazon Music, Pandora, and, of course, here on YouTube, and also Facebook, Instagram, and all the other great places. So if you like this video, comment down below, ask questions. We answer those on the show.
Yes, that makes the show, and we appreciate you tuning in with us every week.
All right, we'll talk to you next time.